The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, it's 10:04 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. You're more than welcome. Just me and Del now the rest of the way. It was a nice Wednesday. Nice Wednesday. Took a couple days off. Very nice. And back at it. And a lot to talk about, including your Astros, who won again last night, down 6-2 with your best pitcher getting lit up early on. And able to come back and win, thanks in large part to the large one, Yordan. He is spectacular. And I don't think appreciated nearly enough by Houston, but by the national media either. Buster only put this up. Mentioned to a high-ranking MLB exec that the Red Sox might be a natural landing spot for Craig Kimbrel. He pushed back and speculated that Kimbrel's destination will come down to either the Astros or the Athletics. Kimbrel will be the most coveted player in the trade market. If that is the case, we talked about, you know, what you got to give up in depleting the minor league system. What will they want for Kimbrel? I mean, I really like what he's doing this year, but he was bad before this. He is really good this year, but he has had some bad run now. His ERA in 2019 was 6.53, 5.28 last year. He's 0.59 ERA this year.
Yeah,
0.59.
You've been hesitant on a potential Kimbrel move, not that there's even one in the offing, but even the thought of it because of the 2 years. Yeah, we've seen, now it was only one, we saw Yuli have a down year. And do you expect him to revert back to what he was last year?
Well, Kimbrel at this point, he's 12 years in the league right now. He's
33 years old.
I don't know. I mean, how much are you giving up for a guy that's a rental, first of all, and secondly?
That would be my bigger concern, not that I'm afraid he's going to become the guy he was the previous 2 years when throughout his career outside of 19 and 20, he's been pretty solid, even better than that, multiple-time All-Star. I don't know. Someone said, would you give up Straw for, yes, if they wanted Straw in exchange for Kimbrel? Take them.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the Cubs, as terrible as they are.
I don't think it's a Straw. I think it's a young player.
Yeah. But how much is a guy at that age who's not a long-term option for the Cubs, how much are you having to give up?
Probably a pretty good prospect.
Well, that catcher we were just talking about.
That? Would you give him up?
I don't know how the Astros feel about him.
On a team that has that. That would be unbelievable to have a hitting catcher again.
I don't think you're giving up a first round pick you drafted in 19, who's apparently pretty good for Kimbrel.
No, I don't think you're giving that much up. No, no chance. You haven't had a hitting catcher since Pudge Rodriguez.
Yeah, and even he was at the.
I mean, Evan Gatt. Well, he caught some. McCann. No. I mean, he wasn't all that good here. I mean, a legitimate major league hitting catcher since Pudge, and he was on the downside.
Yeah, he wasn't Rangers Pudge.
No, so I know you don't give that up, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you give up. How about then? What do you do? I guess Kimbrel's your closer and Presley's your setup.
This was all under the assumption that James Click knows what the Cubs' phone number is.
Right. Well, why would he not know?
Well, I don't know that he calls anyone.
I don't know what he's doing. Is he actually doing anything?
I'm sure. Doesn't he make the transactions? Hey, you go down, you come up. Doesn't he do that? Is that part of his job, or is that someone else's job? Didn't he just tell?
He just calls guys up and down? Or does he have somebody else do it?
Didn't he just put Martez on waivers? He did that, right?
Well, I'm sure he does something.
That's what I think he does. He makes those decisions. Hey, Taylor Jones, up, down, beat it, come back, that stuff like that.
Yeah, I just think that he ought to do something like, you know, make a trade. If that's his, that's his job too, you know.
Well, you say that.
No, that's his job too.
Maybe he doesn't think trades are part of his job.
It's not my job.
No, it's not my job to do that.
That's not my job to do that.
It's not my job to do that.
Yeah, it really kind of is. That's kind of your job too, yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe when this five man rotation settled and he sees some combination of Javier as your setup man, he thinks that's fine with Presley as a closer. And then Garcia will be, maybe Garcia's tagged on to another pitcher. So you know every day that Garcia is going to be available that day. In other words, the Javier role that we've seen this season. But you would think you'd want at least one more arm. Even if it all works out, Javier set up, Presley close, you think you just want one more guy.
Yeah. Oh, no, you do. I mean, the end of the season, it's going to be Garcia, Javier, maybe Blake Taylor, very well could be, because you need that lefty. If it's Presley and Kimbrel too, now all of a sudden your biggest weakness, I don't want to say is your biggest strength, but that ain't too bad.
No.
That bullpen is pretty damn good. If it's Garcia, Javier, Taylor, Presley, and Kimbrel, wow. That is a huge difference than what you've been looking at all year. Huge difference.
So get on the phone if you have their number. I'm sure someone can give it to them. Sure, Jim Crane.
If you're working, I don't know. He might be on vacation.
You think in the middle of July?
No one's heard from him.
I think I know that he did one interview on a local station, I think maybe a month or so ago. That's the last I've heard of him. Even most of the articles involving James Click, if you just type his name in, or is in reference to either when he got hired or his time in Tampa, not about his time here. So, yeah, he hasn't been in the news. Maybe that's the way he likes it.
He ain't about that.
No.
I'm just being a vehicle. No, I want to see some news about you, Jim. Hey, James, it's a public, I don't know if you heard, but you're a public figure. Says you. Yeah, you're the general manager of the Major League Baseball team here. We can hear from you every once in a while. It'd be great.
Nah, he doesn't need any of that. He's the anti-Maury and Luno, who are very willing to talk. He's more in the Rick Smith mode, where you don't really want to hear from me, right?
Yes.
You don't.
Yes, we really want to hear from you. I mean,
James Click knows. Don't become popular now, because if Correa leaves, all that popularity, it's like a bomb dropping. So don't get popular. Don't become the man of the people now, because people are going to be expecting you to talk if Correa leaves. I see the game he's playing. Look, I got a major free agency thing coming up. I don't think it's going to go that well. Don't make me the guy who has to go out there in front of the firing squad. That's a Jim Crane problem.
Speaking of a Jim Crane problem, we got Sean Manaea tonight. It's not really a problem per se.
Not for the Astros.
Yeah, not really. Hasn't been in his first start of the year. He pitched 4 2/3, gave up 5 earned runs. His second start was 6 innings and 1 earned run against the Astros, in which the A's, one of the few games that the A's beat the Astros this year. And then 6 innings and 3 earned runs in another game that the... So 2 of his 3 starts against the Astros this year have been wins by the A's. So the odds say that the Astros will win tonight. Because they beat the A's ass.
Yeah, I think they're averaging... What are they, 8-3 this year against the A's and averaging almost 7 runs per game? I think I saw that number come across the screen earlier today.
And Luis Garcia has pitched against the A's once, 5 innings and 2 earned runs, and that's it. 5 innings and 2 earned runs. That was his second win of the year. He's 6-5 now. After that stupid loss that he got the other day, in which he gave up 4 earned runs in 4 innings, and then he got another loss, 4 1/3 in 3 earned runs. Otherwise, it's been pretty damn good. 3.14 ERA right now. He'd been down in the twos practically, well, for most of the month, and then now he's up to 3.14, which is still pretty damn good. and he's going tonight, and he's going to shut the A's down. That's all there is.
I'm going to need the Astros not to scatter, allow Manaea to scatter 10 hits like he did last time and only give up 3 runs.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you, hey, if you're going to put 10 on him, or 10 hits, you know, let's get 5 or 6. Because he went 6 and gave up 10 hits. That's not great efficiency from the Astros when it comes to scoring runs.
No. I got a lot of Gary Pettis was back last night.
Yes,
I got a lot of.
You
got to
send the runner.
A lot of send the runners last night.
That's good. Good that Gary Pettis is back.
James Click tells us that Jim Crane has told him that the club does not have to stay under the luxury tax line when it comes to making trades at the deadline. Max Scherzer.
So we just went about half a segment talking about what a bullpen that filter down, that trickle down effect. You get Kimbrel and what that would do for the bullpen. It moves guys in different spots and how strong the bullpen is. But you're still locked in.
How about Scherzer and Kimbrel? That's all I'm asking.
How much will that take?
Doesn't matter.
Yes,
not to me.
It does because you might not have enough.
Don't care about it.
I know.
For it this year, baby.
It's not. No, I'm saying you might not have enough to get the guy.
And I think that, I think one of the things is that the Nationals need to start losing. So that would be nice. That would be nice. So because they've said, we're not trading anybody. We're in the hunt, everybody. So we're not trading in that crappy division. 10:15 ESPN 97.5. Think about this, Dell. Duos, NFL duos. Who's the best? Bucky Brooks had something on him. We'll talk about it on the other side.
Did the Texans make the list?
They didn't make any list.
That's surprising.
Yeah. Best duos? No.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it for the Lolo. I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, well, Del, we got the answer to that whole CFL-XFL thing. They tweeted out their statement. When the discussions were originally announced back in March, the XFL has placed their 2022 season on hold until they knew the outcome. As the year went on, many had come to the conclusion that it would be difficult for the XFL to target 2022 without the CFL. We look forward to seeing everyone for kickoff in spring 2023. That seems like a long time.
All right.
It's going on.
Look at that.
20 months.
So how many movies will The Rock get in before the CFL kicks off? That should be the bet. How many movies will The Rock premiere
how much is it going to cost to pay for this league?
Let's see. I know he's got that Jungle Cruise movie coming out with Emily Blunt, so that's one. But I don't know what he has in production right now, but I'm going to say The Rock is on the red carpet for a movie premiere 4 times before the XFL has kickoff, at a minimum, for his own movies. He might make appearances for others, but for his own movies, at least 4 times. So let's see. Let's go through Dwayne Johnson's IMDb. He's got Jungle Cruise scheduled for 2021, Red Notice scheduled for 2021. I'm not counting DC League of Super Pets. He's the voice of a dog. I'm not counting that.
It's
a movie. You want to count? All right. That's 3. 2022 scheduled to be released. Black Adam, which is a DC comic, which he's the star of. 2022, and then there's the King, which is about King Kamehameha, Hawaii, and then you have San Andreas 2, a sequel. Those two don't have end dates or release dates yet. So right now we're at 4 scheduled to be released before the XFL kicks off again.
Yeah, I didn't think it'd be that many. It seems like a lot.
The question is, there are 2 movies that are in pre-production and one is just announced. Will those movies be completed, and will The Rock be on the red carpet for them before the XFL kicks off again?
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay.
I've got 20 months to wait.
Too bad Lance isn't here.
But our league is, we know what's going to happen, Lance.
Sure.
How's that taste?
You already pushed back.
We don't want to just haphazardly throw a league together like the NFL did. Whatever.
And how well did that work out for them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, whatever. Best, and surprisingly the Texans didn't make this list, though. Best duos, Batman and Robin, or best 1-2 punches in the NFL of players. He says it's Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey, the corners.
He thinks they're the best duo?
The best duo.
So he means guys who play the same position.
Yeah, or do the same thing, because his number two are Kelce
and Hill. Okay.
It's going to be hard to beat Kelce and Hill.
Thielen and Jefferson should be on the list someplace, right?
I don't know if he made their list. Chubb and...
what's his name? Former Chief Toledo running back.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt. That was number three on his list. Then he had a couple of more. It's hard to beat Kelce and Hill. Although these two are pretty damn good. I get it. But
I like the cornerback duo partly because they are not dependent on the quarterback throwing them the football.
Well, that's true.
They are simply guys out there balling, and they have to lock down. Now there's scheme stuff that comes into play, but they have to lock down a side of the field. So I like him picking guys who don't need a third guy.
Would Kelce and Hill be up there if Mitchell Trubisky was thrown to him? Probably not.
Let's ask Allen Robinson what he thinks.
Well, Allen Robinson had a big year now.
Yeah, but is he? Allen Robinson had a big year, but no one talks about him like he's one of the best receivers in football because he's up there playing for the Bears.
Yeah, he got franchised, though, so he's getting paid up there.
Well, I'm not questioning his ability and what the Bears think of him, but he doesn't come into the conversation because he's playing on a middling at best offense, and Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles were throwing him the football. But he's a really good player. And I don't know who they have on the other side anyway. So I don't think they'd be part of the duo.
No. Okay, what would the Texans duo be?
Two guys.
Cooks
and Cobb? Who else would it be, reasonably? I mean, we can make jokes, but...
No.
Who else would it be?
Tunsil and Howard?
Titus Howard, is he... Are we sure he's good?
We're talking about the Texans, though.
Yeah, but is he better? Is Titus... We know Tunsil is the...
Tunsil
is the
and
Cooks.
Cannon. What if it's Cannon?
Well, we'll see. I guess, but I would I'll probably take Tunsil and Cannon over Cooks because of Cobb, obviously, being the weak link.
What about Roby and King? That might be the best.
Desmond King going to start on the outside?
Well, he's going to be a starter corner.
Yeah, for whatever reason, nickel corners get less praise.
Yeah,
for whatever
reason.
Yeah,
but he's going to be.
But he won't be the if they're lined up with two wide receivers. He's starting on the outside. Is that what he's going to do, or are they going to go to Mitchell or whoever?
They might go to, but he's more talented than Mitchell. So I mean, if you're talking about two corners and he is a corner, so I think you give him that love. I would imagine that every once in a while, if these guys will line up inside too, if their best receivers.
Mitchell started 16 games last year, all 16 for the Browns on a playoff team. So, I mean, it could be either one, I guess. I'd probably take whatever corner plus Roby over Cobb and Cooks because of Cobb. I take them as the best duo.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to take the best duo is, yeah, because there's no, who, Dante Moncrief or Erickson or...
No.
No, there's nobody you can match up with him. But Tunsil and Howard might be the third, or Tunsil and Cannon might be second or third.
While you're listing all these names, we're trying to find... We listed about, three combos, and you add King, so that's seven. how many of those guys would start on a good team? Tunsil, Cooks, and maybe Roby. And Mitchell started, but obviously they got away from him.
King could start
on a good team?
Yeah.
Wasn't he with the Titans and they were terrible defensively? Was that his last stop? Did he come from someplace else before? Or did he go to someplace after the
Titans?
Well,
I knew him from the Chargers.
You know he played with the Titans. Yeah, he was with the Chargers last year, and they weren't a good team.
He was with Tennessee and the Chargers last year.
Last year, okay. Yeah.
It's so hard. Good Lord. I mean, was Zach Cunningham? Can you with
Zach Cunningham?
Cameron Crozier or something?
No. Oh, it got a butt. No. Cameron Crozier didn't start on the Dolphins.
Kirksey?
Don't ask Joel about him. He said as a Packer, he wasn't good.
Can't we find somebody?
There's one linebacker who another team would want starting, and that's Zach Cunningham. And they wouldn't want him starting at a salary. Like, but Zach Cunningham could start for teams in the NFL, and people would be happy to have him, but not what he's being paid, not the way he played last year.
And Whitney, let's not.
What? You called him useless. You can't bring up his name in a positive way.
What do you say? I don't remember saying something like that.
It's out
Maybe
there.
Maybe I typed it.
No, you said it too. It's out there. Don't worry. So you're not allowed to bring up Whitney in a positive way.
Well, I don't think I would ever do that anyway.
All right.
What about Omenihue and Lawson?
What about them?
Those two bookends?
No, don't do that. No.
So bad.
Yeah, that's why.
You can't even find a decent football. It's like laughable.
They have
so bad.
They have B-level talent. Like, they have decent B-level talent, except they're going.
Their whole team is B-level.
No, you're being kind to the whole team. But the guys, and insulting the guys I'm calling B-level talent, they have B-level talent. The problem is there are no frontline players.
Unfortunately.
Except for maybe Cooks. Maybe. And Tunsil. Tunsil's your one clear frontline player. And Cooks is maybe below him.
Can't wait. Where's the countdown? For how many days left till the season?
Are you going to buy single game tickets this year?
I saw. They put out season tickets on sale now.
Well, I know you're not buying those. I'm saying maybe you get excited for a game. You want to just go see your boys play.
What comes first, XFL return or John's retirement?
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to stay around until
the XFL returns.
The XFL returns.
Well, I guess you'll be still doing this until 2040. Because that's when I predict the XFL comes
back. That's when they come back?
I think The Rock has like 10 more movies before
3,000 movies.
No, he's like a two movie a year guy because he does blockbusters all the time now. So I think The Rock probably has a good 8 to 10 movies in the tuck before the XFL comes back. Maybe 2026, we'll see him.
I'm sick of your Rock talk. It's time to take a quick one here. 713-780-3776, the number. We got an Oklahoma story, and we got to talk a little NBA as well on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 10:33, ESPN 97.5. Our final segment before News of the Weird. So there's some good stuff. Haven't been yet. We got about 5 days of News of the Weird, so we got some good stuff coming up. This is weird. Oklahoma has released Mikey Henderson from their football team, though.
Yeah, he's the third Oklahoma player to be told to leave this offseason. Seth McGowan, who was part of their running back rotation, and there was also another player So
Trey John Bridges?
Yeah, he's the other one. So not a great offseason as far as legal issues for Oklahoma football, but you know, they've done other things. They've kind of raided Tennessee's guys to bolster the roster. They're going all in this year. They went and got a running back from Tennessee, an offensive lineman, and also a safety who may be part of their rotation. So I don't think they'll miss these guys so much. Mike Anderson is a talented player, but Oklahoma's got one goal. That's to get back to the playoff and at least win a game. And
well, you got to give them some credit, though. I mean, releasing guys because of armed robbery.
I mean, what credit do I give them?
Well, you got to – I mean, not everybody will hey, if it's, Mikey Henderson, he had like – I don't know. He had 168 receiving yards and 81 rushing yards last year.
I mean, he was down the rotation because they were pretty stacked despite what's the dude's name who went to Ohio State and ran all over Northwestern.
Oh yeah,
and Clemson.
Sermon.
Trey Sermon. Yeah. Besides losing him, and then they had the other running back opt out. They still had some dudes particularly when Stevenson came back from his suspension. So Henderson didn't get a lot of carries early. But I'm not worried about Oklahoma and their talent level in the running back position. But, yeah, losing depth hurts, but they'll be okay. They got, like I said, they got the running back from Tennessee who will probably start for them. And for Oklahoma, this is a year where it'll be a disappointment if they don't make the playoff. Their defense has gotten better under Alex Grinch. They like Spencer Rattler. He played better as the year went on. I don't think there's any excuse to not make the playoff.
But I do like that they're all coming together and doing, you know, activities outside. Well,
Not all of them are doing that.
Well, no. But this threesome, apparently a man told police that McGowan, who was one of the guys that got released, reached out to purchase marijuana from him. And when the man told McGowan no, McGowan and Bridges allegedly came to his apartment anyway and assaulted and robbed him at gunpoint with a third suspect. Police now identified as Mikey Henderson. Henderson, per the report, allegedly stole a backpack from the victim's room with jewelry, marijuana, high-dollar shoes, and cash.
Uh-huh.
So at least they're doing stuff together.
I wonder, because they're all younger players, were they all in the same recruiting class? Because that would be something about sticking together through thick and thin. If the same guys from the same recruiting class said, you know what, the guys who get in trouble together get kicked out of school together.
Yeah, I think that should be a good slogan. That would be a good slogan for the team.
I don't think they're adopting it. Like, some teams have, like, 15 strong for basketball, like the Astros have for the H. I don't think commit armed robbery together is going to be the slogan the Oklahoma football team backs.
Well, I mean, let's do stuff.
Seth McGowan,
2020. Don't we want some camaraderie?
Seth McGowan, 2020 class. Mikey Henderson, 2020 class. Messed it by one. I don't know. I can't find Trajan. What's his name? Bridges?
Yeah. In
the 2020 class. I don't know.
Damn it.
Damn it. I thought I had a string for these guys. Damn it.
Pretty damn good class. Solid class of armed robbers. Pretty solid.
Yeah, I don't exactly know.
You're playing at Oklahoma and then all of a sudden
prison. You got your whole life ahead of you. You're playing at Oklahoma.
Come on, guys. It's a bad idea?
It's right before. And they knew the NIL stuff was coming.
Yeah.
Right?
Buy your own weed with the money.
Legal ways to make money, and they decided to make a huge mistake.
Yeah. NBA Finals, Chris Paul was wonderful last night. He had 32 last night, 41 in the last game. So between these two games, Chris Paul... I read an article, Stu Gotts. Actually, it was Jason Barrett, who we'll be talking to. You guys don't know him. But Jason Barrett, one of his guys, did an article about how Stu Gotts is still, Chris Paul is not a very good player, and it doesn't matter. He's not giving him any credit whatsoever. You got to give him some credit. Listen, this is Devin Booker's team, but Chris Paul has turned it into Devin Booker has been a good player for a long time. You forget Devin Booker on my list, Al. When you put out my loves.
Yeah, but the problem with that is your love for Devin Booker is kind of warranted. He's a great player. These other guys outside of...
What are you talking about? Okiti? Chas McCormick? Great players.
Brad Peacock.
Brad Peacock?
So on and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Undying love.
There's no doubting Chris Paul is an agent of change. Look at what he does to teams that he joins. The Clippers were what? The Clippers for years and in a different form. Like we say the Clippers now, and that means kind of disappointments, not fulfilling potential. But before, it was like, oh, look, Loy Vaught, and who else is out there for him? Lorenzen Wright, oh, rest in peace. Mike Oluwakandi, that Clippers before,
yeah,
oft injured Blake Griffin before Chris Paul got there and changed them. He came to the Rockets, and the Rockets had a one conference title run when they lost to the Warriors in five, when they went through Chris Paul's Clippers, by the way. Chris Paul gets here. They're their best team in basketball. And, a hamstring away from making the finals. Phoenix, sure, they had that good bubble run, but they hadn't made the playoffs since when? He gets there in the finals. I don't know how you doubt Chris Paul. I mean, you can get into the stuff of what he does on the court, some of the antics. I said it yesterday. Chris Paul would fit in at Duke. He does things that the Duke players did to get by because maybe they're a little less talented. Now, Duke has changed. I'm talking about mid-90s Duke and stuff. But other than the antics, how do you doubt what he does for teams? Stugatz has some irrational hate, I think.
Yeah.
And I love irrational hate, but I think that's what that is.
No, that's what you're about. But Chris Paul, you know who would be a good bet right now for MVP? Because Chris Paul came in as the favorite. Devin Booker.
Well, if Chris Paul is going to go for 32-9, it's going to be wrapped up.
Is he going to do that every game? Because Devin Booker has a chance in these other three wins to really take over.
I think he has to take over because Chris Paul gets it going with the game one. I think people are just waiting to vote him MVP.
Yeah.
Devin Booker will have to be phenomenal in this series the rest of the way because Chris Paul, people want to give him the MVP, and game one makes it easy for him. His game one performance just kind of smooths the path for that to happen.
No, I agree, but I think that you're not going to get value if you didn't bet on Chris Paul before, which wasn't great value anyway because he was the favorite. This is now when you can probably get some good value on Devin Booker because he can take over games and all of a sudden, wow, look at Devin Booker. Oh, it's the coronation of Devin Booker and Devin Booker finally getting his love.
It could happen. We had Cam yesterday, the intern who filled in running the board, said he liked get Devin Booker too. I just think I don't even think Chris Paul has to be at the level of Devin Booker the rest of the way. Like if Chris Paul is his normal, I don't know, 20-10, people can say, look, all the intangibles, Chris Paul. I think it's going to be very hard to take that award away from him at this point, particularly if the Suns, obviously if the Suns win, if the Bucks win, then we're having a different conversation.
Mm-hmm. Del, have you seen all the horrific mice population?
I don't want to.
I know. It's like stupid.
Where are they?
In Australia. I mean, it is really, really unbelievable. Unbelievable how bad. I mean, it's like piled up. Thousands upon thousands just piled up on each other.
So they've got snakes that'll kill you, other things, and now they have a mouse infestation.
And they could eat your eyes, too. So we'll talk about that on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back. News of the Weird. This is our final segment. And we got Astros tonight. It's Luis Garcia against Sean Manaea. No NBA tonight. No golf exhibition tonight. So that's going to suck. But we just got our Astros. I know you were watching all of it. I know you had golf on your on your laptop or probably on your big screen.
Nah, not the case. We do have a Euro semifinal in the afternoon. Lead you into your, not really lead you, but it'll be some entertainment before the Astros begin. See if England can get to a final and face Italy. We'll see.
We'll see.
Or Denmark, who's, you know, their tournament started with Christian Eriksen nearly dying on the field.
Yeah.
And now they're one game away from making the final.
How about that?
Yeah.
I'm looking at Lil Uzi Vert.
Okay.
Breakdance, Del. He's at a club and he's breakdancing. And for some reason, like, there's a circle around him and he's breakdancing and doing a nice job. But for some reason, James Harden is tickling Meek Mill. And it's rather disturbing. But the internet wants to know, why are you doing that, James?
He's no longer our problem, which is great. So we don't have to, you know, defend or explain it away. I wouldn't be out of line in saying James is an odd duck, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. There's no question. I don't know what's funnier in this video, Uzi breakdancing or Harden tickling Meek Mill in the background. Bro, why are Meek Mill and James Harden flirting?
I like that question. Why are they flirting? I don't know why James Harden is tickling. I don't know why there's a circle like it's still the 80s and this dude's breakdancing. But at least that's something. James Harden's tickling Meek Mill, and mm-hmm. Meek Mill dropped his phone. They're at some type of all-white party, which James tends to attend after.
Yeah, he loves the all-white party.
After he's done with the season.
Abdi says, F that kid dancing. Why TF Meek Mill and James Harden having a tickle fight in the back?
Yeah, I'm looking at this still, and I'm like, what's like James, you don't see them initially because they're behind a couple of women who are at the front, and James comes and, like, I guess he's tickling him from the start, and then he keeps going, and Meek Mill's like, what are you doing? And then he just kind of tries to get away from him, and James gives him a couple more tickles. I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, he's not our problem anymore.
No, he's not our problem. I'm looking in Australia, Del. Apparently, a woman woke up to a mouse chewing on her eyeball as the Aussie rodent plague destroys everything in its wake. They're burning buildings over it's like a plague.
It's a nightmare.
It's a plague of mice.
And what do you do when these things, you just quit on your home, right?
You burn it. You have to burn it to try to kill all these. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. Like thousands upon thousands of mice dead on top of each other.
They're giving, I'm sure it's a kind of just a broad count. Tens of millions of rampaging mice have hit towns in Australia. That's how many are rolling around.
Wow.
Look at this thing. A giant scooper mice just stacked on top of each other.
Like the bag from your lawnmower.
Yeah, but probably even, yeah, and there's a hook attached to it so he can, I guess, dump them in the garbage or whatever, but just a lawnmower bag size, and it's filled with mice.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm out. I'm leaving the country. Sorry.
No, I can't live there. Dal, let me ask you this question. What would you do to live longer? Apparently, according to a study, Kiwi sheep are living longer because they've been castrated. Ooh. Do you want to get castrated to live longer?
Okay, a couple questions since you gave me these sheep as an example. How much longer are they living? Do they give you that number?
It's already 10 years old. Apparently, they're great. Maybe six more years.
Six more years.
Nah.
What's the equivalent?
I'm out.
What's the equivalent of that in human life? Maybe 20? I don't know how sheep normal. Let's say it's the equivalent of 20 years, because that's a big chunk.
Yeah, no. Well, 10 years. Yeah, let's say. So 6 years might be five times.
So I'll give you, give me 30.
Is that 30 years? 30 extra years?
So a sheep who dies at a certain point, it's probably an old sheep. If I'm old at 65, 70, if that's considered, that's not even considered old for, let's say 75 is my top out point with my two boys. Why do I want to live 20 years older, 20 years more? I want to live to 95 without them. Like you're saying, you have to do it now or when you're young. And then you get to live.
Yeah, you get to live.
Why would I do that? No. I want to live 20 more years?
No.
Nah.
I don't want to live one more year. What
no,
are you doing?
I get what you're saying, but what do I care if I'm going to live to 65, let's whatever, whenever, like 70, round number, 70. I got to get those cut off at 10 and then I'll live till 90? No. I'll just live to 70. That ain't worth it.
No. Dal, I got a bargain for you. Well, it's up for sale. If you're looking for it, a vacant lot in Ontario, it could be a steal for $99,000.
How is that a steal?
Well, because the price of real estate there is unbelievable. Unfortunately, this one is underwater.
There's always a
catch. It's a vacant lot on Brock Street in the Village, about 100 kilometers east of Windsor. It's presently underwater, but could have endless possibilities in the future. Dal, are you taking a chance and spending $100,000? On underwater land.
Like, 100, what? I can't even fathom the thought of dropping 100K someplace and the land being underwater. So how much will the development of that land cost me before it's even something that's valuable?
Well, you don't have to do anything to it now since, well, you can't.
Right, exactly.
Right.
But if it, so I'm, what, am I going to have to pump the water out? No, I'm not dropping 100K on anything. Particularly not underwater land.
Let me ask you this, Del. Would you like to, I mean, female soldiers are now a common thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't take no orders from no woman, by the way.
Well, these they look like they're marching in order, so it looks like they're probably not giving orders. They're taking orders, which, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But they're marching in high heels.
Seems counterproductive.
The Ukrainian army's decision to make female soldiers march in high heels is sparking some backlash.
That's odd.
Yeah. You would think everybody would be like, that's cool.
Did the Ukrainian government...
Don't they have to look good, too?
Did the Ukrainian army explain why their women are marching in high heels? What's the point?
Because they want them to look feminine.
But aren't they supposed to be soldiers? What is their gender matter when they're soldiers? Don't you want them to be effective soldiers?
Today, for the first time, she said training takes place in high-heeled shoes. It's a little harder in boots than in boots, but we try.
Are you trying to create
equal opportunities?
Are the men walking in heels?
No.
Are they trying to create an army of models? Why are they wearing heels?
Apparently, they wanted their soldiers to be more feminine.
They look feminine, but are they wearing the normal military guard?
Yeah, everything else is...
Then how does that make them look more feminine?
They don't look bad, though.
No, but that's because of the way they look already. It had nothing to do with the uniform. Why are you putting that uniform on them?
It's kind of funny. They're all in high heels.
Of course it looks funny if they're wearing military clothes and wearing high heels.
Not very stylish high heels either.
Of course not. They're not going
in. I mean, don't you want them to look more attractive? And
what do I care? I'm not in Ukraine.
Well, if you're a male in the Ukraine army.
How do they look more attractive if they're still wearing the army stuff?
Don't look bad. I don't know.
Whatever.
I mean, hey, listen. At least they're trying. Okay?
Trying what?
I don't know.
What are they trying?
Apparently, meth in waterways may be turning trout into addicts.
I'm looking at these shoes. These aren't, they're barely high heels.
They're high heels, though.
Yeah, but they're not what people might be thinking.
They're not stilettos. No.
These are the things your teacher might.
They're not that attractive.
Yeah, the thing your teacher might wear.
Yeah.
At school.
Yeah.
The sensible
heel. Not your hot teacher, either.
Well, okay, John.
Apparently, trouts are becoming addicted to meth. It's apparently, because meth is being dumped into our waterways, and they got a little addiction. Do you think you want to eat a trout that's addicted to meth?
No, I don't. I feel like bad things will happen to me.
Yeah, I don't want any meth in my trout system.
It's got to mess with the trout's biology somewhat, right?
Somewhat.
Yeah.
They can lose their teeth.
And do you want a toothless trout?
And you never know if they're going to, you know.
Well, you don't. And
once, an armed robbery underwater.
And once that trout gets a taste, you don't know what that trout's doing
that
for
trout,
more.
He'll do anything for more.
I don't want that trout in my mouth.
We're done. Charlie Polillo is next. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Everybody have a great day.
ESPN 97.5.